Good morning. Thank you for your lovely warm welcome. And it's a privilege to be here today, especially on the week that Angela's leading for the first time. And I have to say that Angela is going to be very, very missed at the 8 o'clock service at Woody's. But we are delighted that she is here with our friends at Alma to serve you and to bless you. My subject today is Thanksgiving. And as we have seen, we are mainly looking today at Psalm 100. Now, I heard a story a while ago about Rudyard Kipling, the author, who apparently made a lot of money from his writings. And when he was visiting America, a newspaper journalist approached him, and he had heard that calculations had been made that his words were worth $100 each word. That's, I think, about £70, isn't it, in our money. He then cynically reached into his pocket and pulled out a $100 bill. And he said to Rudyard Kipling, righto then, he said, here's $100, he said, you give me a word that's worth that. And he took the money, he folded it up, he put it in his pocket, and he said, thanks. He was right, wasn't he? It is a most valuable word, thanks, thank you. And to be quite honest, I think for me personally, and just generally, it's a word that's too seldom heard. You know, it's too rarely spoken, and it's too often forgotten, I think. Even when you just have to listen on the news and things, you know, people are never thanking anybody much. They're criticizing them, aren't they? But they're not really saying, well done for all the injections that have been done or whatever, you know. Anyway, the thing is, if we were more thankful, it would change our lives, and that's the truth. I've got a friend, and she gets up, before she gets up every morning, she thinks of one word, one thing to thank God for that day before she ever puts her foot out of bed. And she said it changes the whole perspective on her day. I can believe it, to be thankful. And the Bible speaks in many places, including our psalm today about having a thankful heart. In verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, give thanks to him, and praise his name. In the New Testament, Ephesians 5, it says, speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, always giving thanks to God the Father. 1 Thessalonians 5, be joyful always, continually giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. And we could say this morning, yeah, that Paul didn't go through the terrible things that we've been through in the last 18 months, a pandemic, an isolation, death, horror of every sort. But when Paul wrote these words, he had suffered immeasurably. He had suffered all kinds of deprivation. He had been heartbroken, he'd been abused and misunderstood, imprisonment, and all because he loved Jesus. We find in 2 Corinthians 11, 27-28, a catalogue of things that he endured because of the gospel and for Jesus. So he knows what he's talking about when we read it today. And he knew that thanksgiving was like a therapy for the soul, a medicine. He was talking about an attitude of heart. So what I want to do this morning, I want to look at two things today. First of all, let's look at the reasons why we're not thankful. What is it? And then what helps us to be thankful? That is the practical part of it. So firstly then, the reasons that we aren't thankful. Attitudes that steal away our gratitude, rob us of thankfulness. And I know these points from my own experience, from my own life. I am not talking to you as somebody that has got it all worked out by any means. The first thing is a proud heart. It's a sort of attitude that says, nobody ever gave me anything. I worked hard for everything I have, and now it's paying off, and it's all because of my own effort. You know, it's this feeling of entitlement. It's my rights. I deserve it. And with this kind of reasoning, we feel that we have no one to thank but ourselves. Situations, too, that are so bad in our lives, disaster after disaster, and we say, who or what, even God, have we got to thank for all of this? For me, my dad abandoned us repeatedly as a family, and as children, we never had from him any affirmation, no cards, no presents, no holidays, no encouragement, no time spent with us ever, no unconditional love, no love at all. And just harsh rules was all we got from my father. And I left home at 15, and I just, I've lost my pen. And I just felt in my heart, deep down in my heart, that I had nothing to thank anybody for, ever. And then a friend took me, you may know of the place, the little assembly called Zetland Hall. Do you know it? Yeah. And somebody took me there, and I had the most amazing encounter with Jesus there. I had never heard anything like it in my life. God was my father. And Jesus was the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me by dying on a cross. And it utterly transformed my life. And 60 years later, I have a thankful heart still for the fact that God rescued me on that day. Goodness knows what on earth would have happened to me otherwise. It transformed my life. So that's a proud heart, a heart that says, I've got nothing to say thank you for. Secondly, the critical spirit, the complaining and grumbling spirit. Do you know that one? I know that one. Nothing is half full. It's always half empty, isn't it, for some of us? I heard of a lady farmer. She complained all the time about everything, and her poor pastor, he had a job to manage her, you know. And at last he found something that she could be grateful for, because she had produced a bumper crop of marvellous potatoes. So he went round to her and he said, Mary, everybody's talking about it, how healthy your potatoes have been this year. Yes, she replied, that's all right, but I haven't got any bad ones now to feed the pigs. You know, that complaining, miserable attitude, nothing to say thank you for. The third thing is a careless attitude. And I think this is quite prevalent, isn't it? We're so occupied, preoccupied, busyness. You know, we don't have time or to be or interest in acknowledging what good things God has done for us in our lives. We get careless about his blessings, don't we? The psalmist said in Psalm 8, when I consider the heavens, the moon and the stars, what is man that you are mindful of him and care for him? In the message it says, I look up at the macro skies, dark and enormous. Then I look at my micro self and wonder, why do you bother with us? Why take a second look our way? That's Peterson's paraphrase. But you do. But you do. The Israelites in the Old Testament are a good example, I think, of a careless attitude toward God. They completely forgot that God had delivered them from the fist of Egypt and brought them right through the Red Sea. They forgot about the manna, the wafers of honey, and the quails that fed them, you know, miracle after miracle. It was never good enough. And so we have embedded in us somewhere a proud heart, a critical heart, a careless heart. And I think we miss out when we forget to be thankful, especially to God. So that's some reasons we're not thankful. Secondly, what helps us to show gratitude? Well, there's two things here, really. The first thing is be expressive. It does you the power of good. I can see Angela there lifting up her arms in the singing, really feeling it in her heart, you know? In Psalm 100, the psalmist encourages the people to express their thankfulness to God with praise. Enter his gates, he says, with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Thank him first. And then in verses 1 to 3, he says, shout, worship, come and know your God. Let your thanksgiving be joyful, he says, and expressive. Know that this is your God and he is the Lord of all. Get a different perspective on what's happening, terrible thing times in your life. He made us and we are his. He is a shepherd to us and he gives us pasture, peace. But we have to let him in. Above all, he is good and his love endures forever. If that isn't something to be thankful for. The Bible speaks of expressive thanksgiving elsewhere in the Bible. Remember David, when the ark was returned and his wife Michal was so furious with the way he was reacting. And Solomon, when the temple was completed, prostrate before God in praise and thanks. Every time we come into God's presence, it's good to proclaim his goodness and to thank him. I love the story in Luke 17. We read about 10 men who were healed by leprosy by Jesus, but only one came back with words of gratitude. It says this in verse 4, the leper, he came back praising God in a loud voice. I bet he did. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And Luke finishes by stating, and he was a Samaritan, someone that was despised and hated, but he couldn't have been more expressive, could he? Thankful. But the more interesting thing is that Jesus said to him these words. He said, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. And that word well can be translated whole. Your faith has made you whole. And have you wondered why Jesus said that just to the one who returned to say thank you? He didn't say it to the other nine. Is it because he wasn't only talking about physical healing? It was a whole healing. You were made whole, he said, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And the leper was made completely and inwardly whole when he expressed his thanks to Jesus. And we too experience something of God's shalom when we come with thankful, grateful hearts. A study says that a sincere thankfulness is the healthiest of all human emotions. And Hans Selye, who is considered the father of stress studies, said, gratitude produces more positive emotional energy than any other attitude in life. The Bible said that long before he did. And thankfulness does the opposite. I read again Romans 1. I felt really challenged and heartbroken by it. It says this, although they knew God, they neither glorified him or gave thanks to him, and their hearts were darkened. And that seems to me to imply that when we are not thankful, there's a cloud, a shadow, a darkness that comes in our hearts. And that's something I don't want. I don't want that, and I don't think you do either. For this awful year, 18 months that we've had, it's good for us to thank God for some of the blessings that have occurred, you know, rather than always asking for help for truly bad things. We need to do that as well, but we need to thank him too for the good things. So that's the first thing. Be expressive. The second thing is be expansive. Firstly, thank him for the blessings, as I already said. Our prayers of gratitude can often be general, but sometimes it's good to be specific. Do you know that old chorus? Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. It is like a therapy, and there will be different things for different people, different experiences that we've gone through. The thing today, we're all alive, aren't we? We're all here. We don't live at the moment in Gaza or India, do we? We had breakfast this morning. We're not starving in a refugee camp, are we? And we are not expecting a hammering on the door from armed military police. Because we're here worshipping and loving Jesus like the persecuted church is all over the world today. We've got so much to be thankful for. And secondly, that's thanking him for his blessings. Secondly, thank him in the burdens. Now, this is the hard bit, isn't it? This is so hard, I know that. How can we thank God when it feels like someone's thrown a hand grenade into our lives? When the disasters have come, things that are not fair, we cannot understand. And you're probably thinking right now, don't talk to me about thanking God in my burdens. You don't know what I've been through. But listen, I didn't say thank God for the burdens. I said thank God in the burdens. Thank him that he never leaves us or forsakes us. That's true. And he understands suffering like nobody else could. We remember Jesus' word to his heartbroken disciples when he said he was going back to his Father in John 16. He said, I'm going away, but I will send the Holy Spirit to be with you, the one who is called the Comforter and the Counselor, who makes Jesus real to us. I'm not going to leave you on your own. I'm not going to abandon you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Nothing can separate you from my love, said Jesus. And we thank him and we say, God, how can I possibly get through life without you? I had a card sent to me last week when I was particularly anxious about something. I brought it with me. You won't be able to read the words from there, but it's produced by Care for the Family. And it quotes from Psalm 57, and this is what it says. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. And it's as if that verse was saying to me, it's helping me to realize that God was a beautiful shelter for me when times were tough. And that burden, that anxiety that I was going through, it's going to pass. It will pass. It might be a long time, but it will pass. And I will always be with you in it. I love the verses in Daniel 6. Chapter 6, verse 10. We know that Daniel's in exile. You know, a decree has been issued. They've all got to bow down to King Neb. You know, a bit familiar. King Nebuchadnezzar. Or there's going to be dire consequences for those people. It's going to mean death. You know the story. Poor old Daniel had a pretty horrendous burden to face. What did he do? Listen to these words. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God. I wouldn't have. I'd say, what are you playing at, God? This could mean death for me. He was thanking God, just as he had done for more. He was thanking him for the blessings as well as in the burdens. I love that song that we sang earlier, the last one, the Matt Redman song. And I wrote down here another beautiful song which reminds me of that one that we sing, and you probably sing it too. But expresses this beautifully about we thank him in the blessings and we thank him in the burdens. It says this, blessed be your name, God, when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all that it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When the road is marked with suffering, when there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. So be expansive, be expressive. How can we do it? We need desperately the Holy Spirit to help us. We can't do it unless he comes, makes Jesus real. Say thank you first thing in the morning for something. before you start the day, before you take your problems and cares to him, thank him for something. And in a busy week, mark out time to spend time with him. Speak out to God his attributes, his faithfulness, his unconditional love, his forgiveness. And use the Psalms to praise him. Psalms 18, a beautiful one to use. It's wonderful. I love it. Thankfulness, like in our psalm today, shout, proclaim his goodness, worship, thank him, come to him, and know him. I want to finish this morning. I want to tell you the end of my story about my dad. If that's all right, can I just do that, Angela? I had very little contact with my father when I left home at 15, until in his 60s, he developed cancer of the lungs very seriously, which was a terminal illness. And my mother had him back into the house, and she said, I am going to look after him until he dies. And her mercy and her forgiveness and her love was an amazing example to him of Jesus. And he, after all those years, became a Christian, which was absolutely wonderful. But my mother, it was getting too hard for her, and she couldn't possibly manage it. So I said to her, Mum, I just have to come home and help you look after him. 2 months. And we cared for him in the day, and at night we took shifts. You know, I did one night, my mum did the next night. And there was this one particular night, I was on duty. And he got very agitated and very, upset and in some pain and everything. And I was sitting by his bed, and I held his hand, and I put my head on the pillow next to him. And I had said to him, Dad, it's been wonderful in these last 2 months for us to get to know each other. I said, and I want to tell you this, don't be anxious, don't be troubled. That's what Jesus said. I said, he's going to prepare a place for you, Dad, that where he is, you're going to be there. I said, Dad, you're going to see Jesus. And he held my hand, and he smiled, and he died. And do you know what I did? I stood up in the middle of that room at 3 o'clock in the morning. I raised my hands in the air and I sang at the top of my voice. I've forgotten the song now, what was it? A very old song. I sang this praise of God that he saved and rescued, you know. And I wasn't only thanking God at that point that my father had become a Christian. I was thanking God that we had been reconciled after all those years, you know. I wish I could think of that song. Anyway, it might come to me later. But I just sang this song of praise to him. And it was the most beautiful and wonderful experience. So, in the midst of real disappointments and heartbreaks, praise God, and know that the disaster will pass.